Kaya Biz. It's my house on Kaya Biz.
As mentioned, it's my house. And this is where we talk all things that are property related. And of course, conversations that are critical to you as a South African who might be looking to explore your options within South Africa's property sphere. As mentioned a moment ago, we're going to discuss what it is one needs to consider when it comes to purchasing a stand. And this comes on the back of a tweet that we've shared with you using our @KayaOnAir account. And we've asked, between buying versus building a new home, what's your preferred option? 53% of you have said build. Hey, you guys are bold. Are very bold, I must say, in terms of your approach. And 47% saying buy. So close enough, but of course, showing that the large majority preferring to build, which speaks to the need to actually acquire a stand and take appropriate decisions that will be considered there. To unpack this conversation for us further, we joined in studio by Ntate Mohau Motaung. He's a broker and owner of Remax Ebenezer. Good to see you, sir.
Hi.
I'm tempted to say compliments, but I've been told to slow down. Okay. I'm teasing.
Yeah. The year is gone. The Christmas are gone. The year has just begun.
Oh.
What can we say?
Indeed. The hard work starts
We're
now.
We're looking for the new Christmas coming.
Ah, it's so far.
It's so far. But yeah, it will be an honor.
Yeah, true. Yes. That's true. And yes, that also tells us, I guess, about the benefit of time, right? And that within this time, a lot of people are doing things. Some are buying homes, some are building homes. Yes. And it does speak to the considerations that we need to keep in mind, especially given this new theme of the Great Migration. But I guess first things first, you see the results of our Twitter poll, almost split in between the middle, but 53% of people saying they're keen to build. Is this what you've witnessed within your circles?
I know people that are sick and tired. Let me start by saying, hi, good evening, listeners. You know, this is such an exciting topic. I almost got into the things. Kuku, you know, thanks for having me. But I just want to say, I have my opinion and I have experiences.
Yes.
So I can tell you what I've experienced.
Just a quick one. As you tell us about the experience, if you could come slightly closer to the mic, just to make sure everyone at home is hearing you clearly. There
All right.
we go.
Okay. Yeah, like I've just said, there's two ways. I can tell you my experiences, what I've seen to be working, and what I still prefer as a person. But and then everybody's got choices. But I really want to say, I have seen people building from scratch. They use their money. Maybe they have saved the money or they inherited some money. They start to build. Often than not, Gugu, I've realized that they don't really finish that house. And if they don't finish that house, remember, these are people with their title deed and they've got their property, they've got their land. And invariably, really, more often, you find that they end up with the bank and asking for money to roof, to put the roof on. And what the bank will say, sure, what's collateral? Title deed. They take a title deed. Unfortunately, you find them, they have a position. They are back in that position where they owe the bank anyway. After having gone through all the stress.
Okay, so I'm getting you. First things first is actually have a budget. Understand what kind of money you're using, where the money is being sourced from, and if it's sufficient enough to actually finish off the project.
In what they say in property, they say you need 7 professionals to help you put up a structure.
To the
amount, the how much money you lose, how much material. There's many ways of doing it. There's also 10 key projects. People finish the building and just give it a key. But what I've learned, Kuku, often than not, man, the material is never enough. You end up going back to the bank and it defeats the purpose. So personally, I would say rather buy.
But some might say, well, we know why you're saying that, right? Because you're a real estate agent.
So
it's easy just to transfer ownership through different hands with an asset that's already been established.
But also, those who wants to build, there are problems, the pros and cons in buying the land.
Let's start there. Land, first of all. Land. Is there high demand? And also taking into consideration that in many parts of the Gauteng province, we've seen people building properties and buildings and structures on land that is not actually theirs or rightfully acquired. So let's start there. Hunalistensa 3000. Is there such a thing?
You know what? People must realize we have a problem with land in this country.
Yeah.
Because land sits with very, very few people. Like the government, I believe, owns the bigger chunk of the land. And then if it's owned by the government, people are taking it left and right, center up and down. We can see that. But let's say you've got an individual that's selling your land. There's few things really, really to look for there. Number one, Let's talk on the physical characteristics of the land. Things like topography. Is it flat or is it sloping? What can be grown there? What cannot grow there? And the use of the property. Is it now? That's physical. Now we come to the legal part of it. Who owns that land?
Yes.
Who owns that land?
So Gugu can't come to you and say, oh, Ntate Motaung, I can give you this piece of land. Just give me, you know, this kind of funding in my bank
problem.
Account.
People think because it's vacant, it can be sold easily to anybody and everybody. It's not the reality. Mm-hmm. The reality is that you must know who owns that land, and a title deed can confirm that for you. Over and above that, this is what I recommend people do. They also go to deeds office just after seeing the title deed. There's nothing stopping you to go to deeds office and confirm it yourself.
In case you see a fake document.
Yes, because I've seen people that really hold documents that are not valid, or it's another story. People would say they lost the title deed, and in meanwhile, it's ceded to the bank. Then they go get another title deed, which is no longer the original one. You know, all those confirm with deeds office at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Another important thing, there are servitudes in some of the lands, not most. Servitudes are things that are implants in the property that belongs to the government. You can't remove them.
Uh-huh. To help us understand, what does that mean?
Maybe they've got a municipality wastage pipe there, which you must watch. Maybe you're building, when I build, you build on top of it. Maybe there's some connection, electricity connection in that piece of land. You must know that, because sometimes whatever use you wanted to use it for might not allow you. There's also a thing called FAR, flow area ratio. To what ratio can you cover the land? You cannot just, it's a big place and cover it. No, you might not be allowed to cover a certain, the municipality can give a restriction that this area can only cover 25% of the land. That defeats whatever the purpose you wanted to do. So you must check properly what you want to use the land for.
And where do you find this kind of information? Is it
municipality?
Just
The title deed does reflect this. But at the end of the day, please check with municipality. Check with the local council what you can do. In some land, you're not allowed
and
to build a
downstory.
And that
means go to the office, right? Not Gugu Osebetsang Hamas.
No, go to the office. Don't go through a friend that you know is working there for 20 years. Do it properly. You know, this. Our people used to say, no, I've got a connection there. Connections are a problem. If that connection is not there tomorrow and somebody holds you to the laws, you might find that you cannot pull what you wanted to pull.
Yeah, definitely.
There are certain restrictions like height. You know, not in every land you can build a double story. You need a consent from the municipality.
Mm-hmm.
Another problem, what is the actual the size of the land?
Yeah.
Because
is that the earth size or the earth number the
earth number it's an identity.
Yes.
It's like kind of an ID book of the land. But the most important thing which I want people to watch out is, what size of land is this? Is it 400 square meters? Is it 200 square meters? Somebody will say, I'm selling a land without actually showing you the size. You might find that whatever you want to build might not fit in that land.
And also what you're building for, right? This particular conversation actually speaks to residential property.
Zone for what?
Yes. Remind us
you
of
see,
that.
Property, we know there are advantages such as it never appreciates. Land never appreciates. They're not like houses. It doesn't really appreciate. And there's less maintenance on the land. I'm taking if you buy it now and to build later. But be careful what you're buying.
What about the option then, to purchase land within gated communities or certain residential areas where you're well aware that the land has actually been serviced and these particular providers and as you said, turnkey developers?
Yeah. You see, if you buy a turnkey, I think it's safer because then everything will be done by the professionals involved in the land. They give you a key, they've done all those checks and balances for you. But that comes up sometimes very expensive because they would use... I've seen them charging things sometimes, in some cases,
tell
depending
us.
Where is it. You see them charging big money because they are going to do a lot of runaround for you as a buyer or the consumer or whichever the case may be. So really, critically so, if you buy a land, you must know many factors before. It is important to also highlight that you must check for the pins. You know, they put a pin. This land comes up to you. Look for that. And confirm it. I've seen situations where somebody builds in a vacant land. Tomorrow you find that land, actually a portion of it belongs to the one next door. And it's already a double garage overlapping onto the other side.
Yeah.
Trust me, I saw this in one area, and it is a big problem. Because now the thing has been standing there for quite some years. And so it is very important to even have a picture of the land. This office will give you a kind of a picture, how the land is. It skew? Is it rectangular? Or is it got corners or curves? Because that will help you to really see the type of land you're buying.
Yep, that's important. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation on our It's My House feature with Ntate Mohau Motaung. He's a broker and owner of Remax Ebenezer. And we're discussing a very critical conversation that we've highlighted with you on social media this evening, whether you prefer to build or buy. Interesting to note that on our at Kaya on Air account, 53% of you on Twitter saying that you do prefer to build. But of course, before you do that, there's a lot of considerations that you need to bear in mind. We've mentioned making sure that you do double check the land or the stand that you plan to purchase with the deeds office. Double check what zoning area it is, and of course some of the technical regulations that also apply, especially through the municipal office. We're going to talk some of the numbers now, and we're well aware that many of you as South Africans have had this experience building your homes on your property. So share your questions with us, share your experiences with us as well. The number to dial in on is 086-000-959. Tate Mohau, I want to get back to the theme of money and funding that you mentioned. And I guess even some of the paperwork, right? Because once the structure is up and running, once you've parted with some of your money, there's perhaps sometimes additional costs that we're not really cognizant of that we need to be mindful of. Are there some, I guess, transfer costs or other legal and financial implications we need to be mindful of?
Yeah, there are costs in buying a property. Let's start here, maybe, Kuku, by saying the problem with buying vacant land is that the bank does not finance 100% vacant land, never. They normally finance 50%. So you've got to have money to buy the land. At some point, you must have your own money. So if a land is 100,000, the banks are always willing to finance only 50,000. So you must come up with 50,000 plus the transfer costs. And remember, the land gets transferred just as much as the house gets transferred, because it's also an immovable property.
Mm.
And there's no shortcut. There's no such thing as, because it's vacant land, you can do it with an affidavit at a police station. It still follows the same procedure. There's conveyances, attorneys must still get involved or will get involved to make it happen.
Mm.
So you will find that the site might be all municipality, and you find that the seller doesn't have money to pay. So you as the buyer, you have to enter into some agreement, bargain them, maybe drop the amount to help them to pay or her to pay the municipality. So I would say in buying a land, you must really be somebody who's moneyed somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just jump into a land.
Oh, batong. So bokuku, so we can't even just.
That's why initially I said buying a house, it's a lot better, because then you can buy, as long as you can afford installment, you are really safe to start the thing. But with buying a land, you must have money to buy the empty stand. And I cannot imagine you staying there in a vacant land and this is my home, this is my house.
Oh, certainly not.
It's sad. You've got to have money to put up a proper structure.
But we're also well aware that some people actually pace themselves, right? Like a 2-room in the back, and then you build up the full structure and then take your time. But that, as you say again, speaks to having the right amount of money, getting the right contractors on board to make sure that you meet the relevant timelines and deadlines you've put in place to build your home.
In some other municipality, I know for a fact they don't allow to put up a sink structure.
Uh-huh.
They would allow you to put a wooden structure. I don't want to mention municipalities. I know of three. If you put up a sink, they will demolish it tomorrow. But if you build up with a wooden structure, they'll give you a couple of months to finish, to show activity that you're building.
Mm.
So it puts you under some amount of stress.
Mm.
You know, it's because then if you don't build, in some cases, they would even consider taking it back because you're not using it.
Mm.
Someone might be wanting it.
Mm. Yeah, important things for us to consider here. We have asked you to call in and share some of your thoughts and experiences. And Manga Kezwane, you've done exactly that from Davidson. Welcome to Kaya Biz.
Hi, Coco. This is Manga from Davidson. Thank you.
Good to
talk to you. What I'd like to comment is what Mr. Mahawa has said, which is very, very crucial. And it's what I always tell people. They always say, which is, it's better with the practice on the market development, and yet they don't look into the nitty-gritty of the whole thing of building, you know. Gugu, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, sir. We're listening to your thoughts about going into the nitty-gritty building.
So what I normally tell people is, take a lease with your spouse who have bought a house and the one who has bought a tent, and then see who's going to have a better life in 20 years. Because the bond is 20 years to pay, but you can shorten it, and then you can still live in the house and enjoy the house and enjoy you living in that house, unlike somebody who's going to build. There are houses, there's a house which I've made an example with, which my friend I said, you know, your brother's house has been built, has been in construction since we're in high school. We are working now, we've had bonds, we've finished them paying off, but he still is building. So the question of saying, Uwaka is cheaper than buying, no, I don't support that. I always advise people to buy a house, not to get a stand, because all the nitty-gritty people never check and say what's in place, who this belongs to, and everything. And I don't buy a house, I'm buying a stand.
No, man, like, completely understood. And I guess that's you know, the view and experience that you've seen, where, again, people just see delays in the money that they've spent. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, man. Like, a very important conversation and theme that you've mentioned there. Dr. Moha, I'm not sure if you want to comment on that, but Mandlake essentially agreeing with you that it's the time, it's the money,
stressful.
It's led to stress.
It's stressful.
And some people actually don't complete these projects on time.
You know, as people, if you are building and you don't get finished quickly, you really go under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
You get neighbors just saying, are you ever going to finish? Hashem, God will help you, you'll finish.
Yeah, but you know, it's a lot of
those remarks, and I'm telling you, you get messed up. You can't sleep in the house. You're always thinking at night. You can't sleep at night, thinking every day, how will I ever do this? And often people end up with a lot of personal loans, which defeats the purpose, really. That's why I always say it's better. Like Mantle said, I have seen people that start to build. They take 20 years sometimes. They're not finished. And the one started the bond in 20 years with a complete house, a livable house, they finish off.
Man, I guess it speaks to that commitment and yes, level of understanding. Lebohang from North Riding, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Hello. Hi, Gugu, and hi to Ntatim Taung. I have a question here. I actually have a land that I've been taking care of for the past 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And basically, I have tried to check with the deeds office whether, you know, I can actually make an offer to purchase for this land. So obviously with the deeds office, they told me who owns the land, and, you know, and when I actually got the information from the deeds office, it was basically to say that the land was actually purchased by a CC company back in 1995, and it's just been abandoned since. So I've been taking care of this property, and I'm ready to make an offer to purchase, but I just cannot, you know, track the owner and be able to engage with the owner and see if I can actually just purchase it from whoever that owns it. Yeah.
Lebohang, just a quick question. What actually led to you taking care of the land in the first place without actually owning it?
Oh, yes. So the land is actually just front opposite my mom's house in Dobsonville. So basically, it was just an abandoned skanga. You know, people would just come and dump there. So it was just a problem for our home specifically. So I just thought, you know, it cannot be like this. Let me just rather take care of this stand. And it's a residential stand, and it looks so clean and nice now. But the thing is, I just do not own the stand. But I've obviously maintained it for the past 10 years now. And this also, you know, includes all the...
Makes sense. Lebohang, thank you so much for that question. Very valid point, because it happens to a lot of us, right? Where we're in residential spaces. It was an open space, vacant land, iskanga, that they actually took care of, and I can imagine, to make sure that it neatens up the environment, right? But he needs to check at the deeds office. He noticed that it's owned by a company. How does he make an offer? And how does he track the owners, as he asked?
You see, I can only imagine that if you find the company owned it, you can Google that company. We get to a point where you're going to have to get the owners of the company, and maybe get to a point where you find somebody who's got the rights to sign off things, who's got the power of...
Isn't this more complex because it's a CC, as he mentioned, a closed corporation, instead of an individual?
Yeah, if it's a CC, there is still, you know, there's members in a CC. If there's members in a CC, they've got different powers to control certain things of the company. That land would form part of the asset of the company. Whoever controls the asset of the company will be controlling that land. It's not going to be news to him or her.
So track the deeds office, find the owners, yeah. I guess, find, call the go company, to the CIPC, call the company.
Company
find
don't die, the if they die, so if you do it, at some point liquidate it, you'll have some track. It's just that it's going to be a mission to get to it, but eventually, yes.
I don't like a machine that we want to make it easy
to
for
find those people in a sense that you find that company, maybe the owners have, the directors have changed, yes. The CC, the members have changed, you know. But if you really want it, it's going to be an exercise, but you follow through. It's a winnable one. It's a winnable one.
Fantastic.
It's not impossible to do it.
Continue at the deeds office and go to the CIPC, Lebohang, yeah. And actually try to identify who the directors of that company, yes. Are, the members of the CC.
The members of the CC, yeah. Yes, it definitely is possible.
Thank you so much. I think we've really discussed quite a lot, and a big thank you to both our guests, Lebohang as well as Manglake, who actually dialed in to share some of their thoughts. Large majority of you is actually saying, I actually just prefer to buy. Keep it simple. Have your budget in place. Do remember to double check at the deeds office, the municipal office as well. Understand the laws and the regulations that are involved, and make sure that you've covered yourself in terms of the expenses and the stress that you might bring on board. So get the right contractors is what we're understanding. Ntate Mohau, any last closing remarks that you want to leave it off on?
Yes, before I go, Gugu, if somebody wants to buy land, make sure that it's vacant.
Ah, good point.
Do not assume it's vacant until you've checked it out. You might find that there's 20 mkukus there. Mm-hmm. You cannot do whatever you're saying. Somebody should not be seen selling your land in a free state and the land is in Gauteng.
Yeah.
Then you think, I can buy it. It shows the pictures. Go check it out. Things changes overnight so much. So one thing that I always encourage, you know, in the offer to purchase, please put a clause that says the seller undertakes to give a vacant occupation.
Vacant occupation.
So that the seller is obliged to remove whoever is there.
Uh-huh.
That forms a part of a suspensive condition to conclude the transaction. If there's people there, that the suspensive condition is hanging, it can never conclude. If you don't mention that, somebody can turn around and say, but it is your baby. Remove them. It's yours now. Now you own it. Invict them and this and other things. So make it a point to put seller undertakes to give vacant occupation.
We're learning new important legal phrases today. So glad that we've got that underscored and noted. Thank you so much, Ntate Mutaung.
My pleasure.
Really
my
appreciate pleasure. Your time this evening.
Thank you.
That's Mohau Mutaung, broker and owner of Remax Ebenezer, joining us this evening for our property feature discussing what to consider when it comes to purchasing vacant land in South Africa.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.